You're listening to Health Savvy You, where understanding health starts with you. I'm Dr. Navjot Butter, a dental surgeon, health communication epidemiologist, and your friend on the journey to better health literacy. In every episode, I break down complex health info, teach you how to spot fake health tips, and share practical tools to help you think clearly, ask smarter questions, and make confident health choices. Keep listening, because becoming healthier shouldn't feel out of reach. It should feel empowering. Welcome to the first episode of Health Savvy You, where I will talk about health literacy. What is it, why we need it, and how we can have it. Let's start with the story of my good friend who is a pharmacist. One day, she was helping a family whose little girl had an ear infection. So she gave them a bottle of liquid medicine for the kid to drink twice a day. Later, she learned that the parents thought it was eardrops and poured it into the child's ear instead. The poor little girl, her infection got worse, and on top of that, the medicine hurt her eardrum that she almost lost hearing in one ear. At first, you may think, were the parents not paying attention? Some of you may think, my friend doesn't know how to do her job. But either way, you're missing the real point. This wasn't about carelessness. It was about something called as health literacy, which simply means how well we find, understand, and use health information. And here's the kicker. 9 out of 10 adults in the US struggle with it at some point. That means most of us will face moments when health directions don't make sense to us, and we will end up doing something that instead harms our body or mind. You know, when I first heard that almost 9 out of 10 adults in this country struggle to make sense of health information, I did not believe it. The number seems unrealistic, right? But it is not. And once you start thinking about it, you will know that health literacy affects our health at one point or another, and in so many different ways. So let me give you some examples of how much health literacy affects us every day. Has it ever happened that you wonder why you're getting tired so quickly or why you can't do things like you used to and then blame it on getting old? Getting older doesn't have to mean feeling worn out. Most of the time, the reason you feel this way is because something is not right with your body. But because you don't know when is the right time to go and seek medical help, you instead blame yourself. Or on the flip side, some people end up seeing a doctor too often when nothing is seriously wrong with them and end up with more stress and wasting both their time and money. Either way, it all comes back to knowing how your body and mind work and when you need to go and get care for it. Two, with medical advancements, so many health problems are preventable today. Science has shown us how to keep sickness away. There are vaccines that stop infection. We can make lifestyle choices that help keep chronic illness away. We have ways to cut down our cancer risk. Still, far too many people end up very sick from the things they could have avoided. Why? Because they don't understand how prevention works or what really helps us to stay healthy. Three, it is not the end of the road if you do get sick. Lots of conditions can be beaten quickly if you take the right steps early. Too often, though, people chase quick fixes or turn to unproven treatments rather than using proven science-backed cure that really works. And what happens then? A problem that could have been solved in days now drags on for weeks, months, or even years and costs way more money in the long run. That's what low health literacy does. It can turn a small illness into a long, lonely struggle. Four, when someone has a long-term condition like diabetes, heart disease, or asthma, low health literacy makes managing it so much harder. If not yourself, I'm sure you know someone who has one or more of these conditions. And despite taking actions like checking their blood sugar or taking medicine every day, they still end up in the hospital again and again. They may not fully understand how their condition affects their body and mind. So they face extra complications. They need more tests and live with more stress. They miss out on living life fully. Five, too many people, because of low health literacy, end up in emergency room, not because they don't care about their health, but because they didn't know how to handle their symptoms at home. Patients with low health literacy are 3 times more likely to go back to the emergency department after a first visit, and each trip costs hundreds or even thousands of dollars out of pocket. 6. People often spend money on treatments that don't help our health in any way, like buying expensive supplements that promise better sleep or boundless energy. With good health literacy, you'd know which products really work and which are just a sales pitch, and you can save your time and money. And it's not just about our wallets. Low health literacy affects our everyday life, our jobs, and our relationships with our families and friends. When you don't know who to ask for help or when to seek it, you might tough it out until you're too sick to work or care for your family. You could be living each day at less than your best. Caring for long-term condition brings heavy stress with it, whether it's your own health or your family members' health. If you don't know how to manage the condition, the worry can feel crushing. It's much worse than if you could understand the treatment steps clearly. 8. Lack of health literacy also creates so much stigma around different health conditions. People often do not seek help with the problems of mind and body because how society looks at these conditions, and this way so many people can never get better despite there being effective treatments available out there. 9. And you will understand this better if you work in healthcare as a doctor, pharmacist, or nurse, or in other positions, as I'm sure you have felt the effects of low health literacy from another side. Like, haven't you experienced the heartbreak of a patient's health slipping away because they didn't understand how to use their treatment? Or the frustration of a patient who Googles every symptom but doesn't really get how the body works? All these simple missteps add up, not just in pain and worry, but also in dollars and cents. So number 10, experts say that low health literacy is costing the U.S. healthcare system somewhere between $106 billion to $238 billion every year. I don't even want to imagine the global cost of it. That's the money that could have built community centers or schools, but instead pays for extra hospital visits and stays. For every $1 million we spend on fixing these mix-ups, that's $1 million less available for safer neighborhoods or better parks for our kids. 11, and I know so many of us couldn't care less, but the insurance companies, they pay a heavy price too. They spend about $4.8 billion a year just untangling calls from confused members who don't know what their plan covers. 12, continuing with the economic cost of low health literacy. If you are a business owner who provides health insurance for their employees, you should know that American businesses lose about $5 billion each year in high premiums and lost worker productivity. That's money that could have gone to raise wages or buy new equipment, but it is vanishing in paperwork and hold music. 13, low health literacy also fuels legal battles. Small misunderstandings between patients and providers can balloon into lawsuits and distrust. Every case means time in court, more legal fees, and more fear, when really all that was needed was clear communication. Research shows that more than a quarter of medical malpractice cases stem from communication failures, costing near 2,000 preventable deaths and $1.7 billion in legal fees each year. 14. Around 80% of serious medical errors happen when critical information gets lost between caregivers. Every miscommunication is a life on the line. But here's the bright side. We can fix this problem. And that's not just my dream. It's a goal that we can reach step by step. In the next segment, I explain exactly what health literacy means and how we can build it. So stay with me. If you're thinking, I don't need this because I went to school or university or I have studied biology or I'm a doctor myself, pause. Because health literacy is not just the ability to read, write, and know the literal meaning of certain words. So what is health literacy then? In simple terms, it is our power to turn health talk into action correctly. It's not just reading a label or a prescription. It's about knowing what to do, when to do, and how to do it correctly. And there are two pieces to this. First is personal health literacy. That's you and me looking up info, asking questions, and deciding what's best for us and our loved ones. Second is organizational health literacy. That's hospitals, clinics, health websites, and even social media health influencers making sure they share health facts in ways that everybody can grasp them. And wait, health literacy isn't one single skill. It's actually a team of skills working together. For example, to know how to read, such as when you have to read a prescription, a health pamphlet, or a consent form. The ability to listen and speak is also a part of health literacy. Talking with the doctor or pharmacist about your condition and treatment, and really listening and understanding what they're saying. The skill of numeracy is important in understanding numbers like medicine doses, your test results, or your appointment times. You must know how to ask good questions so that you can get all the information that you need, like asking your nurse to show you again how to do something, such as taking your blood pressure on your own once you're back home. You need some level of science literacy. Just because someone says a study shows doesn't mean what they're saying is exactly right. A little science know-how helps you to spot when information is real and when the facts are twisted. If you use social media and seek health information there, you also need digital and social media literacy so that you can sift through that flood of info and pick out only the trustworthy stuff. That's almost 8 different skills, and I know that sounds like a lot. But here's the good news. None of us must be perfect at every skill. If you get stuck at reading, you can ask for a picture or a chart from your doctor. If numbers confuse you, you can have someone write out steps in plain words. If a social media post seems weird, you can pause and check the trusted site instead. We are all in this together. Patients, parents, doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and health influencers. When we share clear words, good questions, and honest answers, we all get smarter about our health. And that's what health literacy really is, working as a team to turn information into action so that we can stay well together. In the next segment, I will talk about some simple steps that we can start with today to become more health literate. So stay with me. Learning to be truly health literate isn't something that we can do in a day. It's a journey that we'll be taking together. But every single one of us can start right where we are. Whether you're someone who's just beginning to figure this stuff out, or you already work in healthcare or education, there's something here for all of us. That's why this podcast exists. Health Savvy You isn't just about talking at you. It's about building a space where you feel seen, heard, and supported as you take your journey to learn about your health and become better at making your health choices. So what are we waiting for? Let's start with what you can do right now. 1. If you want to become more health literate, one of the best places to begin is by growing your everyday skills, like reading, understanding numbers, learning to use digital tools, and learning some basic science. You don't need a fancy degree for this. It could be as simple as learning how to read a nutrition label or knowing how to spot a trustworthy website from the one that's just trying to sell you something. 2, a really big shift that we all can make is to stop blindly following health tips we hear in the passing, especially those too good to be true ones we scroll past on social media. I'm sure you have seen those posts. Eat this one thing and melt belly fat overnight. Or doctors hate this natural cure because it is so good. If it sounds dramatic or emotional, it's probably designed that way to get more clicks. So instead of running with it, try doing a little fact-checking first. You don't have to do it perfectly. Just pause and ask, does this make sense? Where is this info coming from? Is it from a doctor, a scientist, or just someone with lots of followers? And if digging into details feels overwhelming, that's okay. And that brings me to our step three. You can still make better choices by choosing who you follow and listen to for your health advice. Follow your doctor instead of a random wellness expert on social media. And if on social media, then follow people who work hard to share clear, trustworthy health information. People who don't sell you fear or sell you products, but explain things in ways that make you feel empowered, calm, and informed. 4, let's talk about internet for a second, because that's where most of us go when we feel unwell, right? You have probably Googled a headache and convinced yourself it's a brain tumor. We have all done that. But here's a gentle tip. Until you have your science and digital skills in a stronger place, don't go down the Google rabbit hole every time something hurts. Just ask your doctor. Sometimes the simplest answer is the best one. 5, and very important thing we don't talk about enough is the need to trust science. But really, trust science. Not just the parts that we like. It's easy to say, I believe in modern medicine, and then turn around and reject scientific advice when it doesn't fit what we want to hear. Health literacy means staying open to learning even when it's uncomfortable. And part of that means checking in with ourselves, being honest about our own biases. We all have them. I have so many of them. Maybe you grew up hearing certain remedies work better than medicine. Maybe someone you love had a bad experience with hospital. Those feelings are real, but we also have to stop and ask, is this helping me now? Being aware of our biases can help us grow healthier. Now, health literacy isn't just an individual thing. It's also something that happens on a bigger scale. And that's what my next steps involve. If you are a part of a community group or a hospital, and you can be a part of the solution, we need organizations to create opportunities for learning. So host health talks, share information in simple ways, bring in local health workers to answer questions of the community. But even more important is the need to listen to the community. Don't assume what people need. Ask them. What are folks confused about? What do they want help with? And if you work in healthcare, you are in a special spot to make a difference. We need more training for professionals. Plain and simple, because even the best doctor or nurse can miss the mark if they don't know how to communicate clearly. Get trained with excellent listening skills, real listening, giving your full attention to the person in front of you, not just going through the checklist. Finally, for my fellow health professionals, let's remember to slow down. Use methods like show and tell to make sure your patients understand your advice. Break your information into smaller steps. Use simple language. Repeat the key points. Use pictures or videos if needed. And most importantly, check in and reconfirm that the person actually understood what you said. A nod isn't always understanding. Sometimes people are just being polite because they're nervous or overwhelmed. And finally, the most important thing that you can do to become health literate is to tune into Health Savvy You for 20 minutes twice a month. No matter what group you belong to, whether you are a parent, a teacher, a nurse, a student, or just someone who wants to feel better in their own body, you belong here. And I'm so glad that you are here. That's all for today's episode, but we're just starting. Next episode onwards, I will start with our first module on health misinformation. And in chapter 1, we will learn what is health misinformation. I have some really interesting concepts to discuss, and I bet you'd be surprised by how many different types of misinformation exist around us. And if there's something that we can do to spot it and stop it. I will see you in 2 weeks. If you haven't already, then subscribe and follow Health Savvy You, so you never miss a step in becoming smarter about your health. Thank you for tuning into Health Savvy You. I hope today's episode brought you one step closer to feeling confident, curious, and in control of your health. If you found this episode helpful, share it with someone you care about. Keep learning, and remember, health literacy is for everyone, including you. Be sure to follow or subscribe so you never miss a new episode. I have got more great conversations coming your way.
See you next time, and until then, stay savvy, stay healthy.